At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. More than 2,300 Texans have died from flu-related causes during this flu season. Laura Anton is with the Texas Department of State Health Services.
I will say that last year we had over 9,500 deaths from flu. So it's not uncommon for there to be thousands of deaths in Texas from flu.
Anton says people in high-risk categories need to take the flu threat seriously. That includes children under 5, adults over 65, people with chronic health conditions, and pregnant women. More than 40 flu-related deaths have been reported in Dallas County so far. Today's calm winds helped ease the wildfire threat across parts of the state. Yesterday's fast-moving wildfire in North Texas forced evacuations of some homes in parts of two interstates. Still, the forecast calls for more wildfires in parts of Texas. Philip Truitt is with the Texas A&M Forest Service. He talked with David Brown, host of Public Radio's Texas Standard.
We're having elevated fire weather again in the Panhandle on Wednesday and Thursday, and possibly even critical fire weather Friday, parts of the Panhandle and the Rolling Plains.
Is there anything in particular about the weather so far this year? Is it especially dry, especially windy, or what?
Yeah, so we're in La Nina weather pattern. So that means drier and windier for the most part, a little bit warmer winter. We have all this dormant grass. All that brown grass you see is dormant, and that's the fuel for a wildfire. You combine that with the lack of rainfall, warmer temperatures, we're going to have a busy wildfire season.
Are these high-risk wildfire periods becoming more common, or is it sort of hard to say?
It's kind of hard to say in the short term. We've been monitoring it for about 100 years. So for us, it comes in cycles of about 10 years of busy, 10 years of slow. But overall, you know, it's hard to say what happened before, but in the past few years, it's gotten a lot busier for these fires for us.
I didn't realize the cycles, 10 years busy, 10 years slow. What accounts for that?
A lot of it's just the rain cycles. Some, you know, you get to the big group of cycles when you get a lot of rainfall, more mild temperatures, and then you kind of get another cycle of where it's less rainfall or more extremes.
What about land management or land distribution practices over that time? Has that made Texas, that part of Texas, especially vulnerable? Not so much.
Not so much in the Panhandle, but it's starting to now in other parts of the state. We're starting to see a lot of fragmentation of what used to be larger properties that had prescribed fire programs and used grazing on the property to more people leaving it 100% natural with no fire and no grazing programs just for wildlife. So they're removing that grazing component and fire component out of the landscape. Now some folks have no grazing on their property.
What should folks do who live in areas that are prone to wildfire if they're thinking about, okay, I want to be prepared for what may be a rough season?
If you're a property owner, a big producer or rancher, just to make sure you have your grazing program in place and use a prescribed fire if possible. And if you're a homeowner, some of the biggest things to do is to create what we call defensible space around your home. And what that is that 0 to 30 foot away from the house, you have cleared of debris, a nice clean yard mode, and you have your trees trimmed up 6 to 9 feet above the ground. And that gives those firefighters a place to get in around that home and protect it.
That was Philip Truitt with the Texas A&M Forest Service talking with Texas Standard's David Brown. The 2015 Supreme Court ruling that made same-sex marriage legal was a watershed moment for LGBTQ rights. Writer Fenton Johnson worries, though, that many activists have settled for the right to marry instead of continuing to push for radical change. Today on Think, he talked with Chris Boyd about why the fight for LGBTQ civil rights is far from over.
I have dear friends who live in extremely conservative places. I understand that a same-sex couple going to the county clerk and requesting a marriage license is, for them, often a revolutionary act. But it is possible to structure a marriage in a way that it opens out to the world and embraces the world rather than closes the world off. And what I have seen a lot of is marriage as a means to the end of closing the world off. And really important rights, rights that don't have to do with property and money, rights having to do with housing and with job discrimination, are pretty much stalled in the water, even though the majority of Americans have long approved of the extension of those protections to LGBT people. You can get married in rural Texas at this point, but if you tell anybody about it, you can lose your job and you can lose your housing. That is really distressing to me, and I feel that that struggle has fallen by the wayside.
Fenton Johnson's essay, The Future of Queer, appears in Harper's Magazine. This episode of Think Rares tonight at 10, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. On Tuesdays, KERA's One Crisis Away project looks at life on the financial edge. Fewer than 40% of community college students get a degree within 6 years, and low-income students are even more at risk of dropping out. A Catholic Charities Fort Worth program decided to evaluate whether a mentor makes a difference when it comes to staying in school. Courtney Collins takes a look.
The language building at the University of North Texas is overflowing with a sea of students trying to make it to class before the lecture starts. Lisa Schellenberg is done for the day, but often stays on campus for a few extra hours to get some work done. So she keeps her backpack stocked.
So, all my snacks.
Schellenberg's backpack is full of binders, class notes, a syllabus or two. There's one section, though, devoted to gear a lot of her fellow students don't carry.
And then this pocket is the fun one. This is the mommy one.
Schellenberg has four kids, ranging in age from 11 to 21. So along with her school stuff, she carries things like hand wipes, charging cords, and chapstick. She's 47 years old and 3 semesters away from a communications degree.
Probably one of the oldest ones in each class, but that doesn't even bother me because I have this goal and I'm trying to stay on course. And I would love for everybody to see that and go, you know what, I want to be on course too.
Schellenberg started out at Tarrant County College in 2015, but that wasn't the path she imagined taking. Back in 2007, her husband lost his sales job. They were living in Florida at the time, and as the financial crisis took hold of the country, they lost their home to foreclosure. Her husband was unemployed for 9 months before finding work in Texas.
Our 401k was gone, our savings, our checking, we were on Medicaid and WIC, food stamps, you name it.
When he did land a job, he was making about a quarter of what he used to. Even now, his salary is about half of what it was in Florida.
There's anxiety to hurry up and get to me working and having a career so I can help contribute.
Without a degree, Schellenberg says she could never find work that paid more than $12 or $15 an hour, so she decided to go to college. It had been a long time since she'd been in class, though, and she was overwhelmed. So she leapt at the chance to join a program called Stay the Course that paired her with a mentor at Catholic Charities Fort Worth.
You could share with them your troubles, and instead of, like, talking down at you, it's more like, okay, let's take this apart. What got you to here? You know, what can we do to fix this?
That's what mentors, known as navigators within this program, are all about. Helping students troubleshoot not just problems at school, but problems at home. Courtney Cunningham, who runs Stay the Course, explains why that part is so important.
A lot of the community college students, they're low income, and so that kind of introduces a different set of barriers that come along with them while they're trying to focus and complete academic life.
Barriers like a broken down car, a babysitter that cancels, a higher than expected electric bill. These kinds of things often force a low-income student to drop out of community college, but Stay the Course works hard to prevent that, offering guidance and even financial assistance. And it's working. A lab at the University of Notre Dame analyzed the first 3 years of the program.
Stay the Course students that participate in the program, they're 2 times more likely to stay in school. And then the female population, they're up to 4 times more likely to stay in school. And that's compared to the control group.
Lisa Schellenberg isn't sure she would have made it through community college without her navigator, reminding her to pack the kids' lunches the night before so she wouldn't be late leaving the house, helping her tweak her schedule so she had more time for homework. Now she's 2 semesters in at UNT. And even though it's hard, she's committed.
And I just know everything's going to be okay because no matter what, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to get this bachelor's degree. I've come this far.
And she's not giving up. After all, her 4 kids are watching. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
Mostly clear skies later tonight. Should be a low around 35 this evening. Tomorrow, sunny with the high around 61. And tomorrow night, much of the same. Mostly clear. Low around 36. At 6:30, this is KERA News.